Look out, a pass ahead. Pasternak with a chance, scores! David Pasternak in overtime. And the Boston Bruins stay alive and send the series back to the Garden.
There's your game winner, 9-14 into the overtime. David Pasternak, second of the series, very close to being offsides. The Sabres bench and coaches stood there for a while and looking at it, but they decided it was okay. And a Bruins goal, nice move around Alex Lyon, and it adds up to a 2-1 Boston overtime win to extend the series now to a sixth game. Buffalo leading now 3-2. We welcome you here into the postgame. I'm Brian Colzio along with Owen Parker. We'll get to Paul Hamilton in the room and the podium coming up in just one moment. But that goal from Pasternak, of course, tonight is our goal of the game, brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. All right, we will hear from Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff. He'll be up first at the podium here in just a few moments. Then from the Bruins players, I'm sure we'll hear from David Pasternak and others. And then we'll also hear from winning head coach tonight, Marco Sturm. And then Paul will have locker room reaction. We'll take phone calls, read tweets, get you stats, highlights, all that coming up throughout the game. But Owen Parker here. The crowd was in it from start to finish. The nervous energy in the building, you could feel it in that overtime there. And I thought the Sabres, you know, did their best. It wasn't like they sat back. They had six shots through the halfway point of the overtime. But you let maybe the best goal scorer on either team behind you, he's going to finish more often than not.
Yeah, it's a tough way for the game to end, and especially after the Sabres have done so well the last few games of not allowing Pasternak and the rest of the Bruins to do their classic sort of goal hang, trip the puck out, and hope to win a foot race. And that's ultimately how this Game 5 ends. I think that the Sabres, you know, struggled in the middle portion of the game, but really late in the third and then through the majority of overtime, I thought controlled the play, really held the puck in the O-zone far more than Boston did. But like I said, it's one mistake that'll burn you, especially this time of year. You cannot have that kind of blown coverage against David Pasternak.
Yeah, he had his other goal. Essentially, it was a meaningless one there late. Remember, he scored with 8 seconds left in Game 1 after Buffalo had taken a 4-2 advantage. So this is his first real meaningful goal there. And, when he got space, we know he's got speed, we know he's got skill, and it was a silky move on Lyon that went hard away from him and then brought it back to the weak side.
Yeah, it was it was impressive to make that move with a defender draped across his back. I'm stunned that he was able to get back to the near side post while still trying to, you know, carrying all that speed into the zone. But that's the kind of play that a player like that can make, and that's the risk you run when you let that kind of guy behind you.
So the Bruins extend this series, and obviously, you know, throughout most of the second, some of the third, and the entire overtime, Buffalo was one goal away from ending this series and moving on to the next round. So they'll have to now have a few days to get regroup. Now they've got to go to Boston and start things all over again here, which, you know, it stinks when you're sitting there probably thinking, man, we're just one shot away, one bounce away. There were some looks in overtime. Zucker had a chance to maybe deflect one. He's been just missing on that all series.
Yeah, he's been snake-bitten, it seems like. He's really been so great all year getting those gritty goals around in front of the net, and I just don't think he's been having the bounces go his way in this series so far. I thought he looked good all game. I thought on the power play that the team was really looking to feed him the puck down low, and just, like I said, snake-bitten, couldn't find the back of the net, and ultimately that cost the Sabres only scoring one goal in this game.
Yeah, 2-1 the final. Again, we're waiting for Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff. We'll take you there live as soon as he steps to the podium. The power play gets Buffalo on the board first, Owen, in what was, I thought, maybe going to be their toughest period, because you knew Boston, after being embarrassed in Game 4, was going to come out. They know that, hey, this is it. We lose here, it's over. And I thought Buffalo weathered the storm there early. I mean, you get that goal 3:35 in. Not only do you get off the schneid on the power play, but the crowd's into it. I thought they handled the first period about as well as they could have, other than maybe adding to their total.
Agreed, yeah. I thought they played a good job of playing through what would be a tough first period against Boston, and just it really got sleepy in the mid-second, and they really struggled after Boston scored their first goal. And it felt like that sort of part of the game, that segment of the game, really kind of dictated where it went. I think if Buffalo was able to gain a little bit more momentum and use, like you said, that crowd that was really into it, the momentum from finally sort of snapping that power play streak, even though we saw them score a goal that was essentially a power play goal last game, to officially have that power play goal on the board. It really felt like Buffalo needed to sort of carry their momentum and capitalize on a good start.
There was a couple times in the overtime where I guess there was a reasonable thought to maybe that Buffalo could have gotten another opportunity on the power play. McLeod was interfered with. There was maybe a trip around the net, but as we all know, like whether you like it or not, like it's going to take an assault to get a penalty in the overtime session.
Yeah, there's no easy call being made out here in overtime. It's just not the way that the league is refereed at this point. The Sabres fans had a point on a couple of those, but not in overtime in the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's just not the way the season rolls.
2-1 Bruins take Game 5. Game 6 will be on Friday at TD Garden. Of course, it'll shift to there, and then, well, the Sabres hope it ends there. If not, there'll be a Game 7 back here in Buffalo on Sunday. But for now, obviously, the Sabres and the Bruins will have to react to this one here as the series moves on for another few days before we get to Friday's Game 6 on the road. Let's get our three stars in here, as they are brought to you by Blue Star Home Services, your heating and cooling experts, ready to improve your home's comfort game plan. Get started at bluestarhs.com. Rasmus Dahlin with a goal, star number 3. Alex Lyon in net, 27 saves, star number 2. David Pastrnak with the game winner. He ends up being star number 1. The attendance at KeyBank Center, a sellout, no surprise, 19,070. Good energy throughout for the crowd for sure. But only one goal to cheer about in the end here, as Dahlin got that early goal at 3:35 of the first. Elias Lidholm come back for Boston at 9:24 of the second to tie it up at 1. There was no scoring in the third. And then all of a sudden, then we shift to the overtime where Pastrnak wins it in overtime at 9:14, and where he makes the move around Lyon and gets behind the Sabres defense for his second of the series. And that gave the Bruins the 2-1 victory to extend this series going forward. All right, let's talk about maybe one of the big storylines of this game. The Sabres lose Noah Osland towards the end of the first period. He came out during a TV timeout and tried to skate around. Looked okay, but then he went down the tunnel. So obviously he didn't feel like it was right. And then the Sabres had to play the second and the third and the OT down a forward, and an important forward, and a guy that's also helped out the power play too.
Yeah, I think that Osland injury is a tough, tough loss, just in isolated within this game and moving forward. We obviously don't know the severity of the injury yet, but I think Osland's impact was clear. He came in and got his line going with Doan and Benson both, you know, speaking about how easy it is to play with him, how there's really not much of a transition when you're going from a Josh Norris to a Noah Osland, which is a testament to the young man's ability to play and his skill set at a young age. But, yeah, I think that really took a little bit of momentum away from the Sabres. I thought after that point, it looked like they got a little hesitant, a little slow. And I think that's a big factor. I mean, Osland brings a lot of that speedy, quick decision-making, really smart, high IQ player. And losing a guy like that from a line that has been, I think, really good, especially these last two games in Boston, I think that was a big loss tonight.
He only plays 2 minutes and 55 seconds, 4 shifts. Did register 2 shots on goal in his time when he was out there and was on the ice during the power play portion there that did get a goal. So, we know he was great, obviously, in previous games in this series. And tonight he only ends up doesn't even get through the end of the first period. Now, according to Lindy Ruff, Josh Norris was available. So maybe that's the natural fill-in for the next game, Owen, if Noah's not able to come back in here for game number 6. I would think if Osland's available, they would, even if that means they want to find a spot for Norris, I think if Osland is healthy, he's proven enough that he has quite a bit of value to be on this roster.
I agree. I don't think you're able to take Osland out at this point if he's a healthy player. I just think he brings too much, and he's proven too much of what he's worth on this roster. I think you've seen the impact up and down the ice, both ends. It's been really impressive. So I think that, yeah, you can't take him out if he's healthy, but if he's not, then you've got Josh Norris, who's ready to step in, and I think will be driven to hopefully make an impact for the first time in this series. He really was quiet in the first few games, and will definitely be looking to change that storyline.
Yeah, now if Norris, for whatever reason, couldn't go and Osland couldn't go, well, then your other forwards available, Tanner Pearson, Josh Dunn, you also could have Konstantin Helenius, whose season is now over because the Amerks have been eliminated by the Marlies in that first round best of 3. So if you're looking for more of maybe an offensive sort of touch. That could be an option, too, at some point here. I know speculating on both of those guys maybe is not the best thing to do, but, hey, we're thinking ahead already to Game 6, so if Dunn and Pearson doesn't wet your whistles, Hellenius could be an option.
Yeah,
too.
If you're looking to sort of replace some of that offensive production, Hellenius has done that in the AHL this year. He's been a stellar performer, point producer for the Rochester Americans. So he would be a guy that I think you'd be comfortable stepping in if you're asking him to provide offense. I think you'd have some concern about his defensive play as a young player that's still learning how the North American game goes.
2-1 Bruins. Owen Parker and me, Brian Colziel, here live in the press box. We'll be heading to the podium any moment. We'll hear from Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff, then from the Boston players of the game, likely David Pastrnak and others, and then Marco Sturm, and then Paul will have Sabre locker room reaction here as the Bruins win in overtime and take game number 5 to extend this series as the Sabres now lead it 3-2. Game 6 is Friday from TD Garden. If there is a game 7, it'll be back here in Buffalo on Sunday at Key Bank Center. You always watch the goalies closely, Owen. How did you think both Lyon and Swayman played tonight?
I thought they were both really solid. I think you can't ask much more when you get a 2-1 overtime game from either goaltender, really. I thought Lyon played a solid game. Maybe you'd want him to be out of his goal line a little more on the first Boston goal. And really, the second, the overtime winner from Pastrnak, that's a play you want your defenseman to cut off that near side post and not let him get back to that side. I think as a goaltender, when you're approaching that on a drive like that where Pastrnak's coming in with speed from a side, you're thinking, I got to make sure I can get over to my far post. My defenseman tracking back should stop him from cutting back. That was, I think, the real backbreaker on the Pastrnak game winner, as Samuelson's draped over the back of him and just can't quite cut him off from getting back to his forehand. And I think that is a big... I think Lyon had a really solid game. He looked quiet, got whistles when they needed him. I thought there were some stretches in the second and early in the third where he made some huge saves that kept them, in a tie game or up one. And then Swayman, obviously, I mean, the third period, late in the third, and some of these saves in overtime were really, really impressive. He stole this game for Boston. I think Buffalo did enough that they deserved to win in the most, at the base level, but Swayman's a difference maker, and that's what you get when you've got a guy like that in net.
Yep. The shot attempts for the Sabres, 78 in this game. That's usually, pretty much good in terms of enough opportunities. It felt even still like there were a lot of block shots, point shots that maybe couldn't get through throughout the course of the night. But the Sabres, obviously, at the end of this night here, still end up being outshot just by 2. 29-27. Final stats brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. Again, 29-27, the shots in favor of the Bruins. The hits category, we were monitoring that. The Sabres led 15-12 after the first, but it ends up heavily in Boston's favor, 43-27 over the course of the game. Faceoffs were not good tonight for the Sabres as they lose a 60% to 40% margin. It felt like, Owen, offensive zone faceoffs, that they, every time you think, okay, here's a chance and an opportunity, Boston will win the draw, cleared out, and you have to kind of work to get possession back at that point.
Yeah, the faceoffs were tough tonight. I thought in the crucial moments where a faceoff really felt important, Boston won almost every single one of those draws in that scenario. And, faceoffs can be a debatable thing. How important do you really think they are? They certainly do matter in certain phases of the game where if you've got an O-zone opportunity, you want to keep that possession, especially if you've got a team out there that's tired. You've got your top line out there against a fourth line that maybe has been out there for a minute. I thought the Sabres, let some opportunities slip away, letting the Boston Bruins get the puck right out of their zone off of defensive zone draw wins.
Tyson Kozak, a physical game tonight. 7 hits to lead all players.
He's double shifting, playing with the Doan and Benson line, as well as the Greenway. And I'm forgetting who his line mate is right now.
With Malenstein.
Yes. And so he's getting a lot of opportunity. But I thought he was all over it. Looked fast, looked like he was playing hard. Had a couple of chances right in front. But I think that was that's all you could ask for from a guy that's playing towards the bottom of your lineup.
Yeah, 7 hits for him, leading all Sabres. A couple more with 4, no surprise. Samuelson had 4. Quinn ends up with 4 in this one. A lot of opportunities along the way here. Dahlin with 14 shot attempts in the game. Only three connect. So 11 times Dahlin either missed the net or couldn't get the shot through or was blocked. So that maybe is kind of where I was going with that comment. It felt like a lot of opportunities from the point that they tried and it just couldn't get through.
Yeah, I thought Power had a lot of those too. I thought he looked really good tonight, but there were some scenarios where he's walking on the blue line and maybe even walking straight down Broadway and then gave Bruins time to get into the shot lane and eventually intercept the shot attempt. There were some opportunities that if they could have converted on would have been real game changers for this.
Five more shot attempts for Power. Only one ends up hitting the net there, so that kind of backs up your point as well here. Sabres fall in Game 5 to the Bruins 2-1. It pushes the series to Friday now and a Game 6 in Boston at TD Garden. We'll preview that game, obviously, coming up a little bit later on. But we're waiting to hear from Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff. Maybe an update on Noah Ostlund as he was injured, left the game late in the first period. The team said it was a lower body injury. He got his leg caught underneath Mittelstadt up along the wall. Came out during a TV timeout, tried to skate around, but ended up going back to the room. And we never saw him again. So that was a key loss for the Sabres, as Owen said, causing some of the other lines and other players to maybe have to double shift and getting Lindy Ruff to have to juggle some of his players around here. I thought Krebs was very active tonight.
Yeah.
I was thinking even in the OT, just some really, really, really strong shifts. That guy is producing in so many different ways. I liked his game tonight for Buffalo.
Yeah, he had a play late in the third period where he buzzed around the wall, took the puck behind the net, and then found Thompson at the back door, and Swayman made the save of the night that kept it tied at one that I thought was really incredible from Krebs. What a dog. I mean, the arc that he has gone through this season, I think, is a guy that a lot of fans are really ready to sort of jump on. I think it's tough when you get traded. He's in the Jack Eichel trade. He's one of the main pieces. And we'll get to Lindy Ruff here.
All right, 2-1 Bruins. Here's the Sabres head coach, Lindy Ruff.
It was a competitive game. I mean, what do you take out of that game, essentially?
I said this morning, it's going to be a real hard hockey game. It was a hard hockey game. You know, we had two or three really good chances that didn't quite hit on in the third period, even in overtime. You know, we're looking at making a pass for a guy in a breakaway, and we hit a stick, they're changing, and ends up going the other way. But that's part of the game.
Lindy, what does this team need to do to flush this overtime game and quickly find its resolve and regroup to get ready for Game 6 in Boston?
Really just same routine. You know, the tough game tonight, we'll take a day off. We'll get a good practice in on Friday and get ready to play a game on Saturday. And we've been a good road team.
Is there any early update on Noah Ostlund?
No. You know, the fact he couldn't come back, he came back and tried, but it doesn't look good.
Maybe the forecheck wasn't as good as it was last game. Was some of that just the desperation Boston was showing in their play?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I thought a little bit of our puck play wasn't quite as crisp, which you know, led to us not getting the puck in the right place. But I thought as the game went on, we got better. We put the puck in a better place. We got to buy this goaltender quite a few times. Generated a number of, you know, good opportunities, but they were desperate. I thought the battles, you know, we started off a little on the side that we weren't winning as many, but I thought as the game went on, you know, it was a highly competitive game around the puck.
As far as the overtime winner goes, I mean, you shut down David Pastrnak in Boston mostly, but I mean, he got behind the defense. That's something you've talked about in getting those chances.
Well, he didn't really get behind. They were changing as we were going on an offensive opportunity, and we just didn't. McLeod's going to have a breakaway if we execute. That was their defenseman leaving the ice, and then, you know, he's coming on after a change. So. You know, that's the same type of stuff that happens in the second period where you catch your team, you've got a great opportunity. We're going to have a great opportunity if we execute. We just didn't.
Thanks, folks.
And Coach Lindy Ruff, a little more briefer comments than normal there from the podium. We'll get the Boston side of things coming up here shortly. with some of their players of the game, as well as we'll hear from Marco Sturm coming up here in just a few moments as the Sabres fall 2-1. And Owen, not good news from Lindy on Osland. He said, well, there's no official update, but then said it doesn't look good. So
yeah,
that's, I think, maybe your update right there.
Yeah,
that's not a good sign.
Not sounding great about that. That's a big loss. If Osland is going to be out for any extended amount of time here, that is going to be a really tough player to replace. I think he has shown how much value he holds on this roster. And like we talked about earlier, Josh Norris is ready to step back in. But, I mean, we haven't seen that line be the same with Josh Norris in between Doan and Benson as it was when Osland was in that slot. And Osland, if you've got Norris back and you've got both those players, then you've got another extra guy that can really make an impact and play both on the wing and up the middle. I think that's a really tough loss if he's going to be out for this series, the rest of this series, the next one, or the rest of the year. That's going to be a tough player to replace. But like you said, we mentioned it earlier, they've got some guys from Rochester ready to step in now. Konstantin Helenius is up here, is probably watching these games and likely itching to get his opportunity. But I think it's going to be really hard to ask anyone to do the same level of make the same sort of impact that Osland was making.
He has an innate ability to just see the ice so well. That play that he set up for Bo Byram for the goal previously in a game where he's literally taking the puck down into the corner and then all of a sudden is able to see Byram pinching in from the opposite side of things and then just makes a perfect pass where Byram's essentially able to shove it in on kind of a one-timer routine play. He made it look effortless, but that's a really, really nice play.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly the kind of player that I think Osland is. He'll carry that puck into the zone, identify, stay away from the pressure, and go from there.
All right, let's head to the podium here. The Bruins with their players of the game speaking now.
Yeah, so much better, right? We've seen it all year from our guys. We just got away a little bit, unfortunately, at the wrong time. But today you could see it, you know, one goal against on the PK, that's it. That's more us. And that made us so good this year. That made us to be part of the playoffs. And that's, we just got to remember ourselves that that's the way we have to play.
Marco, a lot has been said about David Pastrnak and his ability to score clutch goals. What can you say about what he did today on that goal?
Yeah, I'm telling you this. There's only a few players I think who can do that. What I mean by that, it's not the finish, but the way he doesn't go offside. That's not the first time. You guys, the people from Boston, I think they know more than I do, but this year there was, I don't know how many times, it was the same thing, and he always gets it done. And what a nice finish from him. I'm just very happy because, you know, this guy puts a lot of pressure on himself, and he wants to be the difference, and today he was.
Marco, on the bench there after the first Sabres goal, they'd been looking for a power play goal for a while, so in after last game, the first goal caused an implosion. What was the message on the bench from you to the team there just to make sure they stayed calm after the Sabres got on the
bench? Yeah, no, we liked our power play today. We had lots of good looks. We had good entries. We had one good really face-off, so really good face-off. So, you know, sometimes it just doesn't go in, but but as long as you have good chances and you also, even if you don't score, you want to give the team a good momentum going forward, you know. But, yeah, I thought they did a good job today.
Marco, no Victor Arvidsson. You got three new guys in the lineup. You're down 3-1. You're on the road. What does it say about the group that they were able to respond in this way?
Yeah, it's just the character we have in this locker room. It's amazing. No surprise for me though. We couldn't wait to get out there today. Actually, guys were dialed in. Our mindset was just there. That's why there was, I don't know, for some reason there was no panic after they scored early. We knew we liked our start. We liked our first period. Guys came ready to play, and we just had the right mindset. You know, ready to play, it's not the right
I hate that word, actually. The last games, we were ready too. We just didn't have the right mindset. And today, we had that vision in our mind, like, we're going to go home to Boston. And that was our biggest goal.
Marco, I was curious about where the resilience for this team has come throughout the entire season, not just going from game four into game five tonight, but through the whole year to visit those lows and then come out and come away with it up, coming out high.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, in the playoffs, it's not just happening overnight. I think that's something we tried to create already last summer when we got the right guys, the character guys I was talking about. I think throughout the season, starting early in the season, you know, bringing the right culture back on and off the ice. And I feel like that's a little bit the results, you know. Just sometimes you have to learn the hard way, but overall, this team never quits and always find the way to bounce back. And that's, for me, it's, you know, character, it's attitude, and just being there for each other. I think that's the biggest thing, what we created this year.
Marco, you cleaned up so much as a six-man D unit tonight. What changed that for you? Is it just bringing Yoki into it, or is it something more?
No, first of all, Yoki did a good job today, really good. You know, he didn't play for a while, so it's not easy for him to come in like that. He kept it really simple. Guys were just calm. I don't know. Starting with Charlie and these guys, they were very calm. I think that's where we play our best, when our back end plays the best, to be like that. You know, we want to play fast, give it the forwards of the puck, and you know, everything else. I think that was the big difference, you know. And obviously Sway too. You know, Sway had the first shot, our guys had the second, and it was good.
You mentioned him briefly, but your thoughts on Swayman's performance tonight, especially coming off game four?
He's been great in every game. Even, believe it or not, even last game, he was, if it wouldn't be him, it was 10-0 after first. So he was not the reason, and he's a big competitive guy, and he showed it again today. Big moments, big games. He wanted the big guys to show up, and he's one of them, and he did it. So he made a few really good saves, and he was awesome.
Marco, Mark Castle got a big block shot for you on a penalty kill. Looked like he was laboring a couple of times. Can you tell what was going on with him in his performance?
That's a good question, actually. I actually asked him. He couldn't give me an answer, so I don't even know. I don't think he knows, I'll be honest with you. So I know one time was his foot, and the other time, I don't even know. He couldn't talk. So I have to check with him again when he calmed down. He just, you know, guys like that, they get so fired up. And I just want to be out there, and they try to do everything they can to help this team, and Mark is one of them.
All right, thank you.
Is Bruins head coach Marco Sturm, after his team stays alive in this series with a 2-1 win to push this series now to a 3-2 Buffalo lead, and game six again will be on Friday. In Boston. I hope Lindy knows it's Friday. He did say Saturday.
Yes, I would hope so.
I think he does. Yeah.
Somebody will let him know if he doesn't.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Well, Marco Sturm really showed that his kind of demeanor, his confidence in his team was all there. He said, hey, this team doesn't panic. They've got character. Even complimenting Swayman in a game that he let up six goals. Said, hey, it would have been 10-0 if he wasn't in the game there. So even, you know, referring back to what was their worst game of the series, game four, he came in tonight feeling good about his team. And I think for the most part, you know, if you're analyzing this from the Bruins head coach side of things here, this is how they have to win, I think,
yeah,
a game like tonight.
I agree. I think they played their game to a T. I think they couldn't ask for them to really have done anything different.
All right, let's go back down. Here is David Pastrnak speaking with the media.
When something like that opens up,
Well, we are neighbors, so we always call it the neighbor connection. So now it's just great play, great ice. Seems like anytime he has the puck and I have opening, I have the confidence that he's going to find me. So, we have the chemistry, so it's fun and happy that we connected today.
Jeremy, it looked like you were seeing the first shot right away and your defenders came out and had the second one. What was it about that tonight's performance that was so much different than last game?
I think we stepped up in big moments and played with raw emotion, and guys were selling out their bodies and really understanding that every play was important, and I thought that was pretty contagious throughout the whole night.
Brian Colsey here on the press box. You're listening to Jeremy Swayman and David Pastrnak after the Bruins overtime win.
In clutch situations and when the team has needed him most.
I mean, I got the best seat in the house to watch this guy perform, and we're neighbors too, actually.
Yeah, so, now we are. I moved.
Yeah, and it's been an absolute pleasure. He's been such an incredible mentor for me and all the young guys that have come in, and you know, he's one of our leaders for a reason, and it's exactly that. When the lights get the brightest, I think he has the most fun, and that's contagious throughout all of us. I know it's helped me a lot, and it's helped a lot of Bruins that's come through the locker room. So it's a pleasure watching him perform and really guys follow him.
David, had you, right before the goal, had you just come on for a change?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So the play is taking place a far ways away from you. What do you see? I think Marat gets in there, causes a turnover, and then what did you see?
Yeah, exactly that. Honestly, I saw, you know, Marat did a great job hunting. Took a nice swing at the stick and it bounced to the Hampus. And then in that moment, as soon as I saw Hampus has it on the stick, I turned my skating towards their net and knew there is a chance. But, you know, this play goes all the way back to that last shift. Lindy, Geeks, and Casey, not sure who was there from D, but, you know, it was a heck of a push by Buffalo. We defended really well, got the puck out, made some big blocks, Sway made some big saves, got the puck out, get the change, and next thing you know, we end the game the other way. So, that play started long before.
David, Marco was saying that you put a lot of pressure on yourself in these situations. Just what are you feeling like, given what happened last game, given how important to this team you are as you go into this game?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you are 100% right. I do put a lot of pressure on myself. I've been through a lot in my career, so use it as a motivation, and at the same time, sometimes it can be a little heavy. But like I said, I've been through some tough moments, so always bring myself back to to the details and the little things. But at the end of the day, I just want to play well.
Over here, one for each of you. First of all, Jeremy, Hampus helped you out with sort of a swat there. I don't know if you got to see that or not, where the puck pops up. Can you talk about that play at all?
Yeah, it's just heads-up play, understanding that bounces are going to happen, especially in a game like this. And thought he had a really good awareness and goalie-like reaction.
And David, Hampus was saying he's played with you long enough now, he can anticipate where you're going to be. He knows how even before he sees you, he kind of knows how that's happening. Do you feel the same way? And is that something you talk about as you've played through the years, or is that just come from instinct?
No, yeah, the funny thing is we barely talk about those plays. Yeah, obviously, we are close friends and spend a lot of time together, but hockey-wise or plays-wise, we never really thought. But like I said, there's so many moments there, even during a season and regular season, where he just found me, and I'm ready. But at the same time, you still sometimes surprised that he found it. So it's good to have that chemistry, with him. And like I said, he's really important part in our group. He's 200-foot player that, is really good in O-zone and make plays and at the same time in D-zone. So, he's an important part of our group and hopefully we can connect on some more.
Anybody else? All right, that is Jeremy Swayman and David Pasternak from the Bruins. They win game five here, 2-1 in overtime as we bring it back up here to the press box. All of our locker room reports are brought to you by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? If you are just getting in your car or maybe leaving wherever you watch the game from tonight, you missed the update from Lindy Ruff. He didn't officially say there was anything official on Oslin, but then he afterwards expanded a little and just said, Noah Oslin is, he said, quote, it doesn't look good. So that's not good there for the Sabres. Injury report brought to you by Hamburg Overhead Door. Is your garage door injured? Call the experts at Hamburg Overhead Door to get your door healthy again. Back up here in the press box, Brian Kelsey, joined by Owen Parker. Well, Owen, I'll give you a final thought here or two. What do you take away as your biggest thoughts here on this? What is an OT loss for the Sabres tonight here, which keeps the series going?
Yeah, I think the Sabres showed that they are able to still, you know, flip the switch and control the game against Boston. They just need to stay consistent and not allow what I think was a muddy middle of the game to really slow them down and not allow them to build any kind of a lead. I think that was the biggest factor in the game, was just they got sloppy in the late first and through the second period. And I think that gave Boston the ability to find their game and continue sort of controlling how the game was played. When Boston can do that, it limits the Buffalo advantage in terms of speed and offensive ability. I think that you've got to find a way to bring those advantages that you have over Boston out a little more.
And I wouldn't I'll ask you. There would be any expectation of Lindy Ruff changing goaltenders at all?
No, I think Lyon made plenty of stops tonight. He made 27 saves on 29 shots. That's a perfectly acceptable night. Gave his team every chance to win. You need a little more goal support than one goal. That's the nature of the position. You can only do so much. I think Lyon played well, controlled the game. Nothing really you would ask for him to do any different. So, yeah.
If you said, hey, going into the game tonight, in 60 minutes, he's going to let up one, you'd say, I'll sign up for that 82 times in a regular season.
100%. Yeah, no doubt. So I think Lyon played his game, did all he needed to do, and I wouldn't think the switch is being made at this point.
Yep, I would agree. I don't think we'll see any. Now, we know maybe with Oslin's injury that we may see a change there, and it could just simply be Norris takes his spot and everything else maybe stays the same. Kozak looked good on line four there, so I wouldn't anticipate like a shakeup there just to maybe try to like wake the team up or anything, because as you said, like there was plenty of opportunities tonight that Buffalo easily could have won this game and won this series, and we'd be having a different conversation right now.
Yeah, I think it's a very simple fix for the Sabres. It's just get cleaner in the D zone with your possessions, make better puck decisions, and be able to transition and get to your game a little quicker. I thought they got away from that a little bit, made some poor puck decisions in their own end, and that limited their ability to get in on the forecheck and create the turnovers that leads to so much offense for the Sabres.
All right, Owen, we're going to let you go. So you're going to be up bright and early, part of Joe and Jer. Joe is actually off. Congratulations, by the way.
Yes.
We know him and his wife, the beautiful new daughter, so they're home celebrating that. But Joe and yourself will be Jeremy and yourself will be up at 6 bright and early,
yep,
cranking it out, breaking down more on this one.
Yep, we'll talk all about it. Tune in.
Yep. All right, Owen, thanks.
Thank you.
Owen Parker from our flagship WGR here on the post-game show. We've still got more to come. When we come back, we'll have locker room interviews with Paul Hamilton. We'll get Paul up here with his final thoughts. He'll join me in the press box. More highlights, scores from around the league. We'll read some tweets. Send them in at BrianWGR as we'll get connected with our fans. Powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today, and we'll keep you posted on what's happening in the other series. I can tell you in the Western series, Minnesota won their game in Dallas, so they've got a 3-2 series lead there. Edmonton and Anaheim are early second. We'll get that score coming up here in just a little bit. But at this time, we're going to say goodbye to all of our local affiliate stations. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, you can go to WGR550.com, click on that listen button in the upper right-hand corner, or you can listen on the Odyssey app, wherever you're listening to this show here right now. Final score again from KeyBank Center in front of a sellout of 19,070. Boston wins it in overtime. 2-1 the score. The Sabres still lead the series 3-2. Game 6 will be Friday night at TD Garden. We'll be back with more postgame coming up right after this. I'm Brian Colziel here as the series continues. We'll have a Game 6 in Boston on Friday. I'm Brian Colziel. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
McAvoy shot, and Lyon makes the save, and Stanley cleaning house in front of the net.
Logan Stanley right there with our collision of the game brought to you by Dan Chacha Injury Attorneys. Don't worry, Chacha's got you. As we bring you back here to the press box, I'm Brian Colziel. Thanks to Owen Parker from our flagship WGR. Join him and Jeremy White tomorrow morning for more reaction on this one. Still to come here, we're going to head to the locker room in just a moment, but we'll also get Paul Hamilton's final take. I'll tell you what's happening in Edmonton right now. The Ducks, by the way, leading that series 3-1, and Edmonton's out to a 3-0 lead. They're in, obviously, a must-win mode, as was the Bruins here tonight, where they end up forcing a Game 6. By the way, I don't know if this is good news or if you say, don't bring it up, you're going to jinx it. Boston, in the history, and they're an Original Six team, so it's been forever. In the history of the postseason, every time they've fallen down 3-1 in a series, they've never won. Does that make you feel better? I don't know. They've never come back to win down 3-1 ever in their history of being down 3-1. I think I saw 17 times it's happened. So they've never come back. They forced a Game 7 twice, but they lost both of those. So I don't know if that makes you feel better or not, but nevertheless, obviously Buffalo's going to hope that they wrap it up in Game 6 here on Friday at TD Garden. That, by the way, is a 7:30 start on Friday. 7:30 start with the Sabres and the Bruins. So we'll obviously have coverage with that game, of course, right here along the Buffalo Sabres radio network and our flagship station, WGR. Okay, Alex Lyon, second star. He obviously has the front row seat for the game-winning goal. Let's get his perspective on a night in which I thought he played well. Here's the Sabres netminder. Here's Lyon with Paul.
Alex, this was a tight game throughout. What did you think were the biggest differences in it?
Yeah, I think, like you said, just a super tight game. They were obviously very desperate. I think they came out hard in the first, and I think we did a good job of pushing back. And it's just one play at the end from a really dangerous player. So that's usually how these things go. And now it's just incumbent on us to move forward.
You guys had handled him since game two. He hadn't gotten behind you since then. It seemed like in overtime he just seemed to slip by.
Yeah, I mean, he's always lurking. Obviously, he's one of the best players in the league. So we know that. We knew that coming in, and you got to give him a lot of respect. And he's always dangerous, no matter where he is on the ice. So they played a strong game, and they like I said, they're fighting for their lives, and that's what you have to expect when a team has their season on the line. So credit to them, and like I said, just got to move forward and start preparing right now.
How do you handle the emotional swing of being one play from ending it and then having to go back on the road to Boston?
Yeah, it's just part of it. I mean, when you go into overtime, you got to accept that it could be a loss, it could be a victory. So, you just go out there and try to lay it on the line and hope it comes through. But this is part of it. It's part of the playoffs. It's one of the hardest things in the world. And so we have to embrace that, and we have to be on a mission when we go into Boston.
What did you see on that first Boston goal?
The first Boston goal.
Scramble in front, quick shot, turn around.
Oh, yeah. Just lost it for a second. Maybe probably should have, there's probably 10 different things you could probably do differently. I thought he made a smart shot. Obviously a really dangerous player, smart player. He one-touched it, I think, too. I'm not sure. I mean, it's just hard to say right now. I haven't seen it. Have to go back and look. But, just a good player. And I don't know, honestly. Sorry.
Thanks, Alex. Alex Lyon on the postgame. Brian, back to you.
All right, that is Sabres goaltender Alex Lyon. He gets second-star honors here, facing 29 shots, made 27 saves. Obviously, Pastrnak, the big score there at the end. Let's go to Jason Zucker, and then Paul Hamilton will join us. Let's go right back to the room. Here is Paul speaking with Sabre forward Jason Zucker.
Jason, a tight hockey game throughout. Where did you feel the differences were?
I mean, yeah, it was a close game all over. I didn't think our forecheck was as good as it was the last couple of games, but obviously it's a long series. Everyone's making adjustments. Everyone's trying new things, and we got to regroup.
What did you see on that chance you had early in overtime?
It just kind of popped out. Unfortunately, hit Quinny. I thought it was going in, but, it's kind of one of those bounces. like I said, I thought I had kind of an empty net. Unfortunately, hits Quinny and doesn't go in, but it's the way it goes.
Seems like you're a little snake bitten now, too, around the net. I mean, it seems like things are hitting skates, they're hitting whatever, they're just not going in for you.
It's the playoffs. It's the way it works. You know, just got to stick with it. You know, we're still confident in our group. We're in a good position right now. We got to go in. We got to win one game.
Is this the desperation you expected from them tonight? Obviously, they're going to come in desperate. Everything on the line.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it was their season tonight. You know, but I'll be honest. I thought we played a good game. I don't think we had the pace that we did the last couple. But you know, it shows how tight this league is. Every team's unbelievable. You know, they played a great game. Got to give them credit. But yeah, we're just going to regroup, learn from this, and be ready to go.
On the positive side, you've put together a couple of good power plays. One, you guys scored just barely as the guy came out last game, and this one, it seemed like it was a good power play, and you scored on it. Now, what went well?
It hasn't been for a lack of trying. You know, we're trying to simplify. We're trying to make some plays when they're there. Obviously, they're making adjustments. We're trying to do the same. You know, it was nice to get one tonight, but we got to follow it up now.
On a night where you lost Noah Austin, what do you think of the work Tyson Kozak did, kind of double-shifting there?
Yeah, I mean, all the centermen were kind of double-shifting quite a bit throughout the game, so I thought they did a heck of a job. You know, got to give them credit for that.
And a team that's found a response all year, how confident are you that you'll have a good one from this game tonight?
Again, I mean, we feel confident in our game. We feel confident in our group. It was a really tight game. Obviously, you know, it goes into overtime and they get a chance and score on it. But overall, again, we're gonna try to learn from every bit of it. See how we can forecheck a little bit better. See how we can do a few of the things in our game a little bit better and get back after it.
Was there anything they did a little bit better to limit your forecheck, or did you think it was just the pace that you mentioned?
You know, I'd have to watch it a little bit more, but you know, they're a great team. They've had an unreal year. Their D moved the puck really well. They've got some very skilled forwards. They spread the ice really well. You know, and I think if we give ourselves a better chance forechecking and getting three guys around the puck, we'll be better off.
Jason Zucker on the post game. Brian, back to you.
That is Jason Zucker, who almost was the hero in overtime. Had a nice look at the crease, couldn't connect on it. Later, of course, at 9:14 of the overtime, Pastrnak gets his second of the series as the Bruins win by a score of 2-1. That'll force a game six, Friday night, 7:30 in Boston. That goal from Pastrnak, the move he makes, and just such good skill to stay on sides. That's a game-changer play there by a game-changer, David Pastrnak. The game-changer presented by Buffalo Law. When one moment changes everything, choose the right team. Visit buffalolaw.com. Speaking of moments here, Paul Hamilton's here. And, Paul, we just heard from Zucker a few minutes earlier. He had a chance. He could have been the hero and the game-changer moment there. Instead, later on, it's the superstar Pastrnak getting it done for the visitors.
I was right with him. I could see, you know, from my seat, the angle he had. I thought he had more than half the net, and he did. And he said, I didn't realize it had Quinn. And he said he hit Quinn with it. He goes, I thought for sure I'd scored, and I thought so too. He's just been snake-bitten. I mean, he doesn't have a goal in the series. He's had plenty of opportunity, including tonight. And he absolutely could have ended it, but right now he just can't buy a goal. So, you know, they did have some opportunities. Now, certainly, it goes without saying, they didn't play as well as they did last game. But there's ups and downs, and this game was there to be won, you know. And Lindy Ruff said, look it, they had what looked like a breakaway to McLeod, and next thing you know, it hits something or whatever, and they don't get their breakaway, and there's a change, and next thing you know, there goes Pastrnak, and he's down the other way, because they have been taking that play that where he gets behind the defense away after he did it in the first couple of games. He has been silent as silent can be, actually, even in this game, until he scored. But he gets in alone, and Lyon has stopped him on breakaways in this series, but he is David Pastrnak, and he is one of the best goal scorers in the league. And I guess I would say after game one, Tage Thompson, it's your move. I mean, he scored two in game one. We haven't heard from him since. He made a nice play on the power play goal today, but as far as scoring goals, and, you know, Tage Thompson has said in the past he's paid to score goals. And unfortunately, you know, he basically took over game one and won game one for them, but he has not been able to score since then.
Paul, in the OT, it's not as if Buffalo didn't have opportunities. We just talked about the Zucker chance, but there were others. They outshot Boston 6-4. I don't think we can sit here and say, well, they didn't go for it or anything like that. They definitely, yeah. I thought, gave themselves opportunities to win.
And there were times in this game Buffalo had the better of the play. There were times in this game Boston had better of the play. I thought as the second period wound down, maybe the last 8 minutes, Buffalo stepped it up. Swayman, basically, you know, you listen to Rasmus Dahlin, he basically feels Swayman was the difference. I don't necessarily argue with him with that. He made some really good saves right down in front of me. One on Kozak. Kozak was in close right with him. One on Quinn from the slot. And, you know, he made a good one there. And, oh, Krebs went cross-crease to Thompson. Yeah. He did have a good chance. I forgot about that one. And that was a huge save by Swayman. 1-1, any one of those go in, and we're sitting here talking about the next series. So did they play as well as they did in game four? No. Were they awful? No. It was just more of an even game than we had seen in the other games.
2-1, Boston wins in overtime on Pasternak's goal at 9:14. Lidholm sets them up. The Sabres only able to get a power play goal in this one. So they stopped the streak, Paul, that was previously zero for their last 39, but 5-on-5, where they've been really good, they actually don't get a goal tonight.
No, they don't. As Zucker said, it wasn't from not trying, but Boston was better. Simple as that. I mean, Buffalo wasn't able to forecheck quite as well. At times they were, but not as well as they did in Boston. And I lied to you. I'll admit. What did I tell you? The road team wins about 50% of the time. In this series, the road team's 4-1.
Yeah.
The only home game that's the team that has won is Buffalo in game one, and they almost didn't win that one. And since then, you know, the road teams have won each of the next four games. So it has, in the playoffs this year, it really has shown. I think if we add it up, and I'm going by memory, I bet it's over 50% right now as far as road teams winning in this year's playoffs. If it's not, it's very close.
Yeah, this series, obviously 4 out of 5, 80% of the time the road team has won here. You know, Buffalo hopes that trend continues because then they are going on the road next, obviously, for this game coming up Friday. Paul, I thought, you know, with Boston being embarrassed in game number four back in their building that, okay, if there's any sort of pride left, character, Marco Sturm said he used the word character, you know, all these sort of things. He said, hey, you know, we're going to come hard here on the first. And Buffalo right away takes advantage of it. They get the lead. They got the crowd going for whatever confidence it is that they officially got a power play goal. Like, they had everything going in their favor. I want to give the Bruins credit for maybe even them maybe notwithstanding that early barrage by the Sabres, because that could have easily flipped and it could have gotten out of hand like it did the previous game in Boston.
Yeah, Boston had 29 shots and then they had 38 altogether that weren't around the net, either missed the net or blocked. Buffalo had 51, which were either missed the net or blocked. And tell me again, as far as hits go, what were the hits at the end of the first period that you had told me?
Yeah, it was 15-12 in favor of the Sabres, and it ends up 43-27. Yeah. So in the second and
in
the
third. In favor of Boston.
Yeah. So in the second and the third and the OT, Boston out-hit them 31-12.
Right.
Through the second, third, and OT. 31-12, Boston out-hit them.
And another thing that killed the Sabres is they were only 40% on face-offs, so they were chasing all
night. A lot of offensive zone draws they lost.
They were chasing all night. So that hurt them. And when the head coach sits there and says it doesn't look good for Ostlund, I would say we probably will not see him for Game 5. We were told that Norris was available for this game. So I think we're looking at probably Norris getting himself back into the lineup for the next game in Boston.
If Ostlund is out, Paul, more than just even one game here, if it's longer than that, what are they missing here? It feels like it's a big one.
Yeah, he's even in this game, it seemed like it was a big difference when he wasn't around on the power play. You know, he makes such quick plays on the power play, bang, bang. And, you know, it's the right play each time. So just, you know, the way he does that, and he gets a couple of one-timers off. And, the way he has played, I think, you know, would be a big loss. And I saw how the Bruin, like, awkwardly fell on him. I don't know. It's a leg. I don't know, knee, ankle, whatever it might be. It looked really bad And then he comes back out and tries to skate on it. I go, well, maybe it's not as bad as it looked.
Yeah.
But if Lindy Ruff says it's not good, maybe it is as bad as it looked.
And who knows? Could it be worse when he wakes up tomorrow morning? Like, you never know how those things kind of feel after you've, you know, letting it sit horizontally all night while you're sleeping. All right, well, there's the injury report again brought to you by Hamburg Overhead Door. Is your garage door injured? Call the experts at Hamburg Overhead Door to get your door healthy again. Paul, how about the goaltenders here in this one? I asked Owen earlier what he thought. What did you think of Line and Swayman tonight?
Swayman was great. They both were.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, Lyon, he kind of couldn't even remember the first goal, and I don't know if I would blame him on that. You know, it just, he made the save and the puck's in the air, and then Zucker tries to get the glove out, get the puck out of there with his glove, and it goes right back to Lindholm, and it's in the net. So I don't know if I would say that's Lyon's fault. It's David Pastrnak on the overtime goal.
Yep.
Would you love a big save? Sure you would. But it's David Pastrnak on the overtime goal. He has scored on a lot of goaltenders. Alex Lyon would sit here and tell you 100 times out of 100 that he needs to make that save. But it's a great move, a great play by Pastrnak. And so, again, I'm not going to get on Lyon for not making that save. You hope he does. And on Swayman's part, look at the play Zucker makes on the power play goal. Dahlin, a great read to come in back door. He's not stopping that. So I think both goaltenders, I don't know if they both got stars. It's not on
Lyon
the sheet.
Did. Yeah.
I think they both, Swayman was better than Lyon, I thought, and they both were really good. I think I would go, I know Pastrnak scored the overtime goal. I still don't think he was a star of the game. I think the goaltenders were absolutely the two stars of the game.
Yeah. And Dahlin ends up getting third star in this one. Dahlin Paul had 14 shot attempts. Only three got through, though, to the net. But he felt like he was very active and engaged on the offensive side
tonight. I got to look, but I would say Boston probably did a pretty good job. Yeah, the 24 block shots.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. It just seemed like they blocked a lot of shots.
78 shot attempts for the Sabres in this one, and what they end up with, 27 that got to the net.
Yeah, as I said, this wasn't a horrible game for Buffalo. It certainly was winnable.
Mm-hmm.
They had their times. Boston had their times. That's a hockey game. As Lindy Ruff will tell you, Lindy Ruff has said since this series started, Boston is a good team. And Boston was embarrassed, totally embarrassed, in their own building by the Sabres. So you knew that there would be some sort of response. And even with a good response from the Bruins, it was still there for the Sabres to win. If they could have somehow pushed that goal across. It was there for both teams to win. Boston won it.
Yep. All right, Paul. Well, what Lindy Ruff said, tomorrow they're going to have off?
Yeah, that's on the schedule. Win or lose. Yeah. Tomorrow was going to be off. And then back to practice on Thursday. Back to Boston after that. And we'll
game
have
Friday.
Another game, yeah.
7:30 on Friday night. And, of course, we'll have it for you right here on the Sabres Radio Network and on our flagship WGR. Okay, Paul, thank you very much. We'll obviously – will Lindy talk tomorrow or we don't know yet?
No, he will not.
He will not talk. Okay, so total off day tomorrow and then Thursday back here. And we'll obviously get all the notes, maybe an Ausland update too to see what that's all about.
And I know I can get to Boston. I've already done that while we were listening to the interviews. Now you so rudely interrupt me. I don't have any place to stay yet. But, you know, I can get there. I can, you know, stay, you know, under a bridge or something. Whatever.
Just
I'm good.
Just go to the press box early. There's a seat with your name on it. Just go there. Bring a blanket, and you can just sit in the press box. They probably won't kick you out.
I almost got there. I was showing you the hotel thing. Right. I just got to quickly book it and then
all right,
get out of here.
I'll let you book your hotel so you're locked in for a place to stay in Boston. Thank you, Paul.
Take care.
All right, Paul Hamilton with us here on the postgame. 2-1, Bruins win in overtime. They extend the series to a game 6 on Friday night. Timeout. When we come back, we'll hear from Rasmus Dahlin. If you want to get on board, next segment we'll take some calls. 803-0550, 803-0550 is the number. We'll also read some tweets. Send them in at Brian WGR. Postgame rolling on live here at KeyBank Center. 2-1, Bruins win it in overtime. I'm Brian Colziel. Thank you for listening. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Byram, tough defending Zacha there, kind of with his feet square. Big save by Lyon. Far circle shot. Lyon again at the far post with a stop.
Dan Dunleavy there on the call. Alex Lyon, a couple of big saves there. He faced 29 Bruin shots and stopped 27 of them. Second star honors. Sabres fall, though, in overtime, 2-1. Pasternak's goal at 9:14, the difference maker. Very, very close to being offsides, but the replays showed that it looked good. I know Rob Ray, after looking at it a few times, said he thought it was good, and obviously the Sabres the players on the Sabres bench and the coaches were looking at it, but ultimately decided that, yep, that was good. They walked into the room, and the Bruins continued on with their celebration at center ice. The scene will shift back to TD Garden for Friday's 7:30 Game 6. We'll, of course, have it for you right here on the Sabres Radio Network. That save from Lyon, those two saves from Lyon, are saves of the game brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today. And we'll read some tweets here coming up in just one moment at Brian WGR, but let's get another locker room interview in. Here's the captain, Rasmus Dahlin, speaking with Paul Hamilton.
Going back into Game 6 and back to Boston.
Yeah, I mean, we're in a good spot. We should just get ready for the next one. It's a tight game and stuff happens, so we're ready for going to Boston.
Do you think the forecheck could have been a little bit better, or maybe wasn't as good, I might say, as the last game?
Yeah, you can say some different things, but they played good, and it's a super tight game, you know. So we should have just put a couple more pucks in the net. I think that's what it comes down to.
Obviously, you scored on the power play, and you guys had some other good chances. What do you think was working better there tonight?
Kept it simple. We took what we had, and we didn't overthink stuff out there.
How tough was it to see Noah go down early in the game?
Yeah, that was tough. I haven't checked in on him. I haven't seen him, so hopefully he's doing good.
Rasmus Dahlin on post game. Brian, back to you.
All right, there's Rasmus Dahlin. Said, we're going to get ready for Boston coming up on Friday. By the way, for what it's worth, Friday is May Day on Friday. So maybe the Sabres will get some luck there. So we'll get connected with our fans here, powered by Verizon. Get your local Verizon store today. Reading some tweets here at Brian WGR. Anthony says, Friday is May Day. So
hopefully some good vibes come from that then.
Maybe the magic of Brad May against Ray Bourque and Andy Moog can come on that one there for sure. No doubt about it. Let's see here. Let's read some other tweets here. All right, Phil, not happy with the officiating, says, yeah, talking about Marco Sturm, saying how they're in a good mindset. He's like, it's easy to get in a good mindset when you can just grab guys and not get penalties. There were two instances in the overtime where I thought there could have been a call. However, because I've watched NHL playoff games before, I was in no way surprised that they actually didn't call it a penalty. I think you're really going to have to be egregious. It's also got to be one of those automatic ones, though, too. Like, a high stick can be clear and concise. Delay a game, obviously, super easy if it just goes over the glass. Like, you know, there's nothing you can do there. Too many men on the ice. I feel like any sort of interference, holding...
Holding, tripping, interference,
yeah,
are like, all very...
they've got to be very, yeah, very, very obvious.
Discretionally.
Yes.
Called sometimes.
Yeah. So, other than that, I mean, I don't know. Am I annoyed they weren't called? Sure. I think I think those are penalties normally. I think in an overtime game in a Stanley Cup playoff game, they're usually not called. So I wasn't up here in the process being like, oh my God, I can't believe those weren't called. Like, I think that's just what it is. And I guess I'd like to say that if the Sabres committed the same crime in overtime, it probably would also not have been called. So I know probably it was more, you know, there were an interference on McLeod for sure. And was Benson tripped maybe
Benson
one time?
Benson down here, yeah, in the corner along the boards. Yeah, it was more so like a holding, and then he got basically fallen on top of over a few seconds span. A holding or an interference could have probably been called on that. But
yeah, I would agree. A couple other things here of the Oslin injury here. Chris said he did sit on the bench after that, so I don't know what that is. He's like, but Norris should be ready. Yep, I mean, that might be there for sure. Soulmander 8 says about the Oslin injury, can't we just have one nice thing? Get Hellenius and Norris in the lineup. No more screwing around.
Yeah, if anyone didn't see the highlight, it was a pretty, you know, simple play along the boards.
Was it Mittelstadt?
Mittelstadt basically, you know, just landed on the side of his ankle, it looked like. It wasn't a cheap play. It was just kind of legs tangling together, and Mittelstadt fell on the side of his skate. And, you know, you could assume you've seen a lot of, like, ankle sprains or high ankle sprains in those kinds of positions. You know, nothing's going to be mentioned of what the actual injury is. But if you find the highlight somewhere, you'll probably agree that it didn't seem like a major impact type of injury. It wasn't like a collision. It was just kind of just falling on top of each other, and his ankle turned a little sideways. So,
yeah, I don't know. So, well, there's still what
he did come. He did come out on the bench, as mentioned.
There's still
he did
you get
skate
an extra,
during the break.
There's an extra game here because of the extra day because of the travel. I don't want to. I mean, I didn't want to rule him out, and then Lindy Ruff said it doesn't look good, and then that made me like, that's. And he's just had such a quick, immediate impact on this series that it feels like a really big loss. It is a really big loss. Like, let's say it. It certainly is, no doubt about it. Craig says, don't put in UPL on Friday. I don't think that's going to happen. I think it'll be Lyon. I asked Owen earlier about it. He think you know, I think it's Lyon for sure.
Four goals over three games, and two of them were tightly contested. So, you know, obviously the game over the weekend, you know, he was pretty comfortable because of the lead he had. But I thought, you know, he played solidly both Thursday night and tonight. Just unfortunate, you know, kind of a one-on-one play there at the end against Pastrnak. But otherwise, I thought he made some really great saves along the night. Saw the puck seemingly pretty well. It wasn't a lot of rebounds out front. I just think there's no reason you would go back and say, like, ooh, he looks shaky, and you might think about going back to UPL. I think Friday will be a
I think Friday's a Lyon game for sure. There's no reason to change it. I mean, again, it was a Pastrnak essentially a almost
half
full,
break,
breakaway there, and he made a nice play. So yeah, I'm not in any mood to have that discussion about changing goaltenders for sure. All right, no games in the East tonight in the other series, but two in the West. Let's get that details here on the rest of the sports as we get our final drive around the league brought to you by AAA, the official partner of the Buffalo Sabres. Over to Jonathan for the scores.
Thanks, Brian. We got one game currently ongoing out in Edmonton. Anaheim up 3-1 in the series. The Oilers looking to extend that one. They are currently up 4-1 in the second period, about 3 minutes to go. Leon Draisaitl getting two goals for the Oilers with the 4-1 lead there. Final in Dallas, Minnesota taking the 3-2 series lead, Wild beating the Stars 4-2. To the NBA playoffs in Boston tonight, Celtics had a chance to eliminate the 76ers, but Philly wins this game 113-97. Boston has a 3-2 series lead in that one. Knicks beating the Hawks 126-97. Knicks have a 3-2 series lead in that series. And the Spurs up 91-76 over the Trailblazers with about 8 minutes to go in the fourth. They are looking to close that series out. They are up 3-1 over the Trailblazers. To baseball tonight, Blue Jays hosting the Red Sox up in Toronto, and they get a shutout over the Red Sox 3-0, and the Yankees beating the Rangers down in Texas 3-2. Bisons fall tonight 9-6 to Scranton Wilkes-Barre. They are at it again down in Scranton at a 6:35 first pitch tomorrow night. Brian, back to you.
All right. Thank you very much there. So Edmonton looking like they're going to be, they're still over a period to go here. They're in the second, but they needed their offense to get back going here. That's how they win with their offense. I am surprised at the Ducks. But you know what? That whole Pacific Division was bad. So anybody beating anyway, I guess I shouldn't be. I don't think any of them are good. I don't think Vegas is that good. Edmonton's that good. Anaheim's that good. So L.A., obviously, they got bounced in four.
The Utah-Vegas game was fun last night. If you caught any of it, I enjoyed watching that game, and obviously that one went to overtime as well.
Yeah.
Back-and-forth game of multiple goal swings in that one. So I've enjoyed that series. I've enjoyed, you know, watching the off nights, the late games. It's always fun to check in and see what's going on elsewhere.
Minnesota-Dallas has been a good series to watch, for sure. I think that's been the best one in the West to watch. In the East, I mean,
we haven't been able to see much of it, but the Lightning
Canadiens
series.
That one's probably, if you're looking on paper, that's probably been the closest.
Actually, I don't know the exact schedule, but tomorrow night might be the first game where their schedules have not crossed over. So you get a good time to watch the game tomorrow night because they had the off night tonight between the Canadiens and Lightning.
Yeah, that's right. And then, yeah, is that what tomorrow is? Do we get Canadiens Lightning tomorrow?
Wednesday? I can pull it up. I have it right here.
Yeah, we get it tomorrow. That's good. And we get Pittsburgh-Philly tomorrow, too. So two East series tomorrow, and then Utah-Vegas is the late game. Thursday, Dallas-Minnesota, and then if Edmonton holds on, we'll get Edmonton-Anaheim. So no East on Thursday. And then Friday, obviously, the Sabres are back at it in that series and Tampa-Montreal. Interesting. So that'll be probably that Tampa-Montreal, it will be 7 if Buffalo is confirmed to be 7:30. I know Dan Dunleavy had the tweet that it was 7:30.
Yes.
So is that confirmed?
Tampa at Montreal Friday is currently scheduled for 7 o'clock.
And then the Sabres game is 7:30.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Take one more timeout here. Sabres fall in overtime to the Bruins, 2-1. Thanks to Jonathan Colziel there for the scoreboard. I'm Brian Colziel as well. We'll take a timeout and more postgame when we return here to KeyBank Center. Bruins win Game 5 in overtime. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Thompson's in front. Puck doesn't get there. It scores! Rasmus Dahlin! The captain starts it! And that one in front of Alex Lyon. Now back Lindholm. He takes a look. That one is stopped. Lindholm takes a shot and scores. The Bruins tenacious on the puck with 10:36 to go in the second, and they are rewarded and tie the game at 1. Look out, a pass ahead. Pastrnak with a chance, scores! David Pastrnak in overtime. And the Boston Bruins stay alive and send the series back to the Garden.
There's your winner. There's your three goals. Dahlin for Buffalo, Lindholm for Boston, and then Pastrnak for the Bruins wins it. Dan Dunleavy on the call, 2-1. Your final. Pastrnak wins it 9-14 into the overtime. A nice move around Lyon. Very close to being offsides, but it counts. And the Bruins stay alive in this series. The Sabres still have a 3-2 series edge. As I mentioned earlier, the Bruins in their history have never won a series after being down 3-1. They still have to win two more in order to do it. But they'll be back on home ice where the Sabres are 2-0 starting in this series. So again, Friday night, 7:30. We'll have the coverage here on our flagship WGR and then along the Sabres radio network with Dan and Rob on the call. And, of course, I'll be with you throughout the intermissions and on the postgame show. And then, if there is a Game 7, obviously Sabre fans are hoping there isn't one. But if there is one, it'll be Sunday back here at KeyBank Center. Is that one already been scheduled for an afternoon game? Let me make sure if that's official. I feel like it is. Do we have a time yet? Thought maybe that was an afternoon game, but according to the app I have right now, I don't have a time, so maybe we don't have official time yet for that Sunday game. But yeah, to be announced. Okay, so we still don't have an official time if there is a Game 7, but we do know that Friday's game is 7:30, so we'll have that for you right here on the Sabres radio network. So, all right, with that, as the Zambonis are resurfacing the ice, will we be back here for a Game 7, or will we be back here for a Game 1 of the second round with the Sabres advancing? If they advance, they'll get the winner of Tampa and Montreal. That series obviously is still going. That one is still at 2-2 in that series in that best of 7. For now, though, I thank you for listening, and we're going to put a wrap here on the postgame and thank our crew. Want to thank first our network producer back in our Amherst studios, Dan Dale. Dan, thanks for your work tonight. Here at KeyBank Center, our crew, Tom Matty was our on-site engineer. Jonathan Colziel on the scoreboard as well. Check out his game story, WGR550.com. Paul Hamilton, our reporter. Owen Parker also joined me here on the postgame. Want to thank Owen for his analysis. Of course, Schopen and Bulldog were on the pregame. And for our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray. My name is Brian Colziel. The final again here from KeyBank Center. Boston in overtime, 2-1 over Buffalo. This Game 6 will be Friday at TD Garden. And with that here, as we get past midnight, thank you for listening. We'll talk to you for Game 6, Friday night from Boston, right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everyone.